Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
There is a very interesting passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 27. It has to do with Paul's shipwreck, Acts chapter 27. The story begins in verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, there are more verses that we're going to end up studying and reading today. But before we go and get to the rest of the chapter, it is important for us to look at some of the things already that we've seen in the passage and pick up some more as we begin to study. There's an old favorite hymn called Farther Along, and the chorus goes like this. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. And from that chorus, we get that phrase, cheer up, my brother. And so today, we are going to exhort you to cheer up. The exhortation in the song was to cheer up. And hopefully from our text, we can give you something to help you cheer up. Now notice, first of all, in this text, what's going on. These folks are not cheery, and Paul's going to cheer them up. And they're not cheery because some bad things have happened to them. And those bad things that happened to these sailors are very similar to some bad things that happened to you. You're going to get down. You're going to get depressed or down on yourself or whatever you want to call it. You're going to get low. You're going to get grumpy, whatever you want to call it. When several things happen to you, and if all these happen to you at one time, you're really going to go down. You'll get down when you're overworked. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 16. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get the lifeboat, out so they can go around and undergird the ship. Now, they said we had much work to come by the boat. And you know something, when you find yourself overworked, you're going to get down. Perhaps you get in one of those situations where they do what's called a turnaround, and you're working 12-hour days, and you're working day after day after day after day, and you go through without a single break for many days in a row, you're going to get tired. You're going to get overworked. And what's going to happen is that you're going to get stressed out or stressed to the max with things. The Lord talks about people being weighed down with the cares of this world. You know, the funny thing about it, it's not funny as in humorous. It's funny in that we let it happen to us. When you start getting stressed out about the job, you know, then you suddenly get stressed out about the kids. You get stressed out about your marriage. You get stressed out about the condition of your house. You get stressed out about your car. It seems like things also pile up. Have you ever noticed that? So you're dealing already with more work than you can handle, and then the washing machine breaks, and there's a mechanical problem with the vehicle that you can fix and you need to fix because you need the vehicle and you don't have the money to let the mechanic fix it. These things pile up and you get overworked. You'll get down. You'll get down when you're hopeless. Look in Acts chapter 27, verse 20. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, here they couldn't see the sun. They couldn't even see the stars. And, you know, we get to where we can't see the S-O-N. We can't see the light. Jesus Christ said, I'm the light of the world. We can't see the light of day. We had a fellow that came here. He's a missionary in Papua New Guinea. He came here and preached for us one time, and he said, I'll tell you, what happens to us is that we gaze at the trouble and glance at the Savior. But he said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to glance at your trouble, and you need to gaze at the Savior. Because what happens is that when you look at the condition of the clutter in your house, the condition of your finances, the disarray and chaos in your life, when you look at the condition of your health, you start thinking, you know what? I'm not going to make it. And when you get there, you get hopeless. And when you get hopeless, you get down. And when you get down, you get depressed. And now you take a man that's overworked, and you couple that with a man who is hopeless at the same time, then you have a man that's well nigh overwhelmed with life. And I'll tell you what, I meet them that way. The people throw up their hands and say, it's no use. I can't get ahead. Every time that I come home, my paycheck is already spent, plus some. And you're just worn out with it. But I'll tell you something else. Not only will you get down when you're overworked and get down when you're hopeless, but look in Acts chapter 27, verse 27. You'll get down when you're tired. Acts 27, 27. We didn't read down this far, but look what he says. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. But notice that. 14 nights. Driven up and down in Adria, and up all the way now at midnight, you know, in the middle of this storm. They were worn out. I mean, in addition to being overworked, they were just simply tired. No rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you know what? It's a funny thing when people get tired, they don't want to turn to Jesus Christ. It's like, man, already I have got more work to do than I can stand. I don't have time for anything concerning the Lord. Can't you see I'm busy? And you expect me now to take what little time I do have off on Sunday and go to church? Are you kidding? You see how that is? But Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so what happens? You get tired. You know, there's a thing called adrenal fatigue. I don't even know if you know what it is. I didn't. The way I found out about it was just through a little bit of research, but what brought it on is that there was a time in my life, and I would say maybe 5 years ago, that I had a hard time going to sleep at night. And you know, when you read through the Bible, particularly in Psalms, the Bible says it's vain for thee, O man, to stay up late and to, what is that, to rise early. For you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And I would say to the Lord, wait a minute, the Bible says that you give your beloved sleep, but I'm not getting any. And what was happening is that about bedtime, I would try to go to sleep, and I would get this massive surge, instantaneous surge of adrenaline. And when that much adrenaline was released into my body, it was at least another 2 hours before I could get to sleep. And so what was happening is my organs, like kidneys and things like that, and all those glands, you know, that affect your adrenaline, liver and pancreas and all that stuff, I couldn't. Man, I'm telling you what, I was just getting worn out. And I did a little research and found out about adrenal fatigue. And what happens is you get so tired that when you're trying to get some sleep, your body misreads that as a necessity to stay up and get something done. And what then happens is you get this surge of adrenaline and you can't sleep. And that's what was happening to me. And it wasn't good at all. Now, let me tell you something. When you get tired and you're so tired that you can't sleep and you're hopeless and you're overworked, man, you are going to get down. You're going to think, I need to go to a psychiatrist and get something to make me feel better. And they're going to try to put you on some sort of a speed, and it's only going to get worse. Now, couple all those things with this. You get down when you get scared. Look in Acts chapter 27, verse 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Fear causes panic, which also releases adrenaline and sucks the energy right out of you. And then you feel dread and you're defeated before you ever get to the fight. This thing with fear is pervasive now. When I say pervasive, if you watch television to get the news, if you read the newspaper or some sort of a news article, news magazine, and if you listen to the internet, go to the internet to see what's going on with the news, everything is sold on fear. You've heard me say it before, but I'll say it again. Everything is motivated by fear. They're trying to scare you. And you never sense that you have enough protection. You don't own enough gold. You don't have enough water for the next 10 years. You don't have enough emergency supplies. You don't have enough communication devices. You're not sure that you have enough insurance. You're not sure that you have your home adequately prepared insured. And on it goes. You're scared your kids are going to get kidnapped. You're scared something's going to happen to the kids when they're at school. You know, you're scared that your kids are going to get on drugs. You're scared. And I'm going to tell you what, you don't realize that, but by watching the news, reading those reports, and constantly staying in an agitated state of fear, you are getting down. And what happens when you start living like that is that the least little thing gets to you. You just stay spooked. And you get down on yourself. You get down and depressed, overworked, hopeless, tired, scared, and then this, undernourished. Acts chapter 27. We're talking about Paul's shipwreck here. Acts chapter 27, look at verse 33. While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. 14 days they had been without food. Now, let me tell you something. They were weak. Some of you miss lunch and you're weak. You miss breakfast and you don't think you're going to live to see supper. But now they were undernourished. And I'm not just talking about physical food here. More importantly, I'm talking about spiritual nourishment. When we go without the food of God's word, we become spiritually anemic. Sometimes you might even be reading like scriptures in a devotional book, but you're not getting fed, and therefore you're not being nourished. Now, you know, you're skipping church, and you're skipping your Bible reading, skipping prayer, skipping all these things, and now you have no spiritual nourishment whatsoever. Look at that combination right there. Does that not describe the state you're in? Running the rat race, you feel like you're in the squirrel cage going round and round and nobody is bringing you food and water. It's like a prison. That's the case that people get into. Overworked, hopeless, tired, scared, and undernourished spiritually. And you're thinking, I don't have time to read. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to pray. I'm worried, stiff, problems going on with my health, problems going on with the kids. I'm exhausted so much so that when I sleep, I don't get refreshed. I have no hope that I'm ever going to get out of this financial difficulty that I'm in and this marital difficulty that we're in, and I'm working 7 days a week. That sound like a pretty bad recipe? It is. Now, in this text, Paul said in verse 22, be of good cheer. And Paul said in verse 25, be of good cheer. And you're thinking, dude, don't be handing me that positive, mushy-gushy speaking thing right now. I don't have time for that. I am worn out. I don't have time for nonsense. Well, let me tell you something. There is a way, in spite of the fact that you have those circumstances that I've just described, overworked, hopeless, tired, scared, and undernourished, you'll cheer up when several things happen. Number one, you'll cheer up when you pray to God. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 21. Stay with me. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. These guys are in the middle of a storm, man. They've been after this for 2 weeks. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. Hard for the shipmaster, the owner of the ship, to be happy about that loss. But he says, you know, after all, ships are replaceable, but men aren't. So be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now pray to God. You say, I don't have time. Yes, you do. Trouble is, you're worn out and you're mad. And I mean, I am quite sure that if the truth of your heart could be known, and if the truth of your thoughts could be known, you're fussing with God in your private area, in your mind, in your heart, maybe in your vehicle driving to work. Why are you letting this happen to me? Why aren't you solving this problem, Lord? Let me tell you something. Not all prayer is about removing you from the circumstances in which you find yourself. Did you hear that? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times that the Lord would remove it, and he didn't. Jesus Christ went to Gethsemane and asked if there was any way he could be, you know, the cup could pass from me, and the Lord didn't take it away from him. The circumstances did not change. But I am telling you, there are people who, when they get to praying and actually making contact with God, find out that in spite of the fact that the circumstances don't change, they're starting to get happy in the Lord. Nehemiah took the Jews through a tremendous rebuilding campaign of the wall and had all kinds of opposition from the enemies of the Jews. And he said to them, the joy of the Lord is your strength. George Mueller, who eventually ended up raising 10,000 orphans in orphanages that he built with God's money, without ever asking one person for a single dime, George Mueller prayed till he was happy in the Lord. In other words, there were times when he also was very burdened about the fact that they didn't have any food to feed the kids, very burdened about all the orphans that he had to take care of, very burdened about the fact that there wasn't any money in the bank. He didn't worry about it. He kept on praying until he found joy in Jesus Christ. Here, Paul had real fellowship with the Lord in this prayer. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Boy, God showed up. You've got to pray to God. And you've got to stay with that prayer. Now listen, prayer is not just a matter of checking off a list of things that you want God to do, like putting in an order at Whataburger. or at a Pizza Hut, okay? This is where you get with God and you stay with God in fellowship until the joy of the Lord becomes your joy and fellowship with the Lord. All right, here you'll cheer up when another thing happens, not only when you pray to God and have real fellowship with Him, but when you fear not. Notice in verse 24 what he said. Fear not, Paul. What good is the fear that you have right now doing you anyway? These men were scared on this ship. What good did it do them? It didn't change the storm, and they didn't go into a shipwreck, not during all the time that they were scared. You say, well, it's a natural thing. It doesn't have to be. How many times do you read in that Bible where God says, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Be not afraid. Dread not. How many times do you hear that? You hear it over and over and over again throughout the Scripture. Why? Because God knows that fear will suck the life right out of you. It'll drain you. John Wesley said that fear is the advanced interest, and fear and worry are the advanced interest that men pay on trouble that rarely ever comes. It didn't come to these guys. They were scared, we say, to death. They didn't die. So you'll cheer up when you fear not. You say, well, how am I going to get there? You put your fear in God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You put your fear of God. Listen, don't you trust Him? You know, I found that fear of God and trust of God are closely akin. They're first cousins. When you put your trust in God, don't you understand that God took the sun and moved it back 10 degrees in Hezekiah's day when He healed him? Don't you think that God can do anything He wants to? The Bible says, with God, nothing is impossible. God doesn't have to change your circumstances. First of all, He's got to change your attitude. Quit being afraid. He'll deal with you as a child. He'll help you. But listen, when you're not praying and you're scared to death, God wants to teach you some spiritual lessons before He changes the cauldron in which you find yourself. And He doesn't want to change the recipe for teaching you the lesson. You'll cheer up not only when you pray to God and fear not, but when you nourish in God's words. How do you think neglecting the words of God is going to help you? The Bible says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 34. Paul said, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. So these guys ate something and hadn't been eaten in 2 weeks. You hadn't been in that Bible. There's so much dust that's grown on your Bible right now, you can't tell by looking at it on the coffee table whether it's a Bible or whether it's a novel. It's been so long since you've been in there. You say, well, I wouldn't even know where to start. Get on your knees in prayer to God. Get that Bible. Blow the dust off of it and say, God, please help me. I'm going to establish a better reading habit than what I'm going to read tonight, but right now I'm just going to let it fall open where it does and trust you to guide me to something that's going to help me. Pastor James said, it's not how much you read, it's how much you digest. Boy, I'll tell you what, I found myself in that situation before. I just let it fall open. It fell open. I started reading. Boy, I'm telling you, God nourished me in His words. You'll cheer up when you pray to God. You'll cheer up when you fear not. You'll cheer up when you nourish in God's words. I'll tell you, one of the best places in the world for you to get some nourishment is to find you a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and go sit down under a pastor and let him do the work. You just sit there and let him preach a while and nourish you in the words of God. You say, oh, that ain't going to do me any good. Why don't you try it? You say, well, I work on Sundays. Good, come Wednesday night. You say, well, they don't have church on Wednesday night anymore. We do at our church. You'll hear all about it here at the end of the broadcast. Why don't you come down here? You say, well, I'm worn out. I don't care. Fall asleep in the pew if you have to, but sit here and let the preaching of the Word of God begin to nourish you back to health. If you don't get some nourishment in you, you are going to starve to spiritual death. And I'll tell you, I promise you, I've seen it happen over and over again. You'll cheer up when you pray to God, fear not, and nourish in His words. And I'll tell you something else. He'll also cheer up when you believe God. Acts chapter 27, look at verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. You know, you'll read that Bible and you'll find more doom and gloom. Why don't you start believing Him? Prayer and Bible reading don't do you much good until you really believe what God said. I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible because of what it says about the Word of God and what it will do. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now I'm going to tell you something. You start believing God and that word will go to work on you. It will change your life. I know a fellow that was bound in a hospital bed in a VA hospital after World War II, 25 straight years. 25 years. And the preacher would go by to visit with him, and I'm telling you, that guy said, the preacher said, every time I left that guy's hospital room, I was more encouraged than I'd come to encourage him. Now, how can a man be in a case like that? Well, he found some cheer. How? He believed God. And then one other thing, you'll cheer up when you thank God. Look in Acts chapter 27, verse 35. "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." You know what you ought to do? You ought to just raise your hands up and say, "Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm still alive. Thank God I can still work." And start thanking him for all those little blessings that you have neglected and forgotten about by being overwhelmed by the things that are troubling you now. Paul said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, that's what one preacher said you need to do. He said you need to develop the attitude of gratitude. He said, that's trite. You won't forget it. The attitude of gratitude. I'll say it about five times. The attitude of gratitude until you almost get sick of hearing it. The attitude of gratitude. You'll be driving to work at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, and you'll be thinking, ram, ram, ram. And then you'll remember that I said to you, the attitude of gratitude, and you'll start thanking God for what he's done. And you know what it'll do? It'll cheer you up. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 36. "Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat." You see that? This cheer came upon them while they were still in the middle of the storm, before they even went through a shipwreck. You don't have to be safe in the harbor to be of good cheer. You can experience it now if you will do what you heard from this text and start doing it today. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.